We are in the basement of the Hellman's home. We are in the basement because this is the only place we can find a quiet spot to record with the six children that are upstairs. So if you hear footprints, a pattern on our ceiling, it's because they are rolling back and forth. Chris Wong and Amanda Wong are with us today. Chris just ran upstairs to lay Frankie down, and he'll be back with us in a minute. So in the room right now, we've got Nikki Wright. Myself, Diane Hellman. We've got Amanda sitting here, and Chris is coming down the steps to put his microphone back on. And we're doing another episode recording moment of the hearts of. This is an idea that Nikki Wright brought forward about hearing the hearts of the people in our family. Nikki, I'll ask you to just remind us what your heart for this is and looks like.
Okay, so I really felt the Father put in my heart to ask people what the Lord was doing in their lives at this time, just to hear from their perspective, but also to get to know everyone better. I really feel like every person has a piece for everyone to hear. And so those that don't normally share or that feel like they don't have anything, I just want to pull that out of them so that they can see that there is the Father speaking to them, and that we can also learn from that and get to know people more.
Welcome, Chris and Amanda. Can you just remind us a little bit about your lives? You have four children. Go ahead and just introduce yourselves a little bit. We are.
I'm Amanda Wong.
Hey, I'm Chris.
Hi, good. And?
We do have four kids, from five, just about four, two, and 8 months now. So we have our hands kind of full. I am an electrical consulting engineer, and so I design power and fire alarm systems for building, essentially, new construction and renovations, things like that. I don't pick up anything, wire anything, but I do create...
Except for in our house. You are an awesome electrical engineer, obviously, but you also have a creative, artistic, musical side. Can you tell us about your heart for music?
Yeah, I have a creative, artistic, musical side.
Expand on that.
What particular, like, would you...
Well, I think if we walk into your home, the bottom floor has a piano, a guitar, a recording equipment, a keyboard, a computer system to help you facilitate all of those creative outlets.
So I feel like I still consider myself very much a beginner and hobbyist in these areas, just because there's so much depth to it and so much experience that other people have that I can't even touch.
What's your favorite kind of music?
You should at least explain why you chuckle.
It depends on the day with him. He likes to... I'll get in the car after he's driven, and, like, it might be oldies, or it might be opera, or it might
really?
Be, oh my gosh, like, it's just whatever. He just likes to listen to all styles. He can have an appreciation for almost all. Like, he can see the beauty or, like, the, what do you call it?
I like any music that I feel like someone has taken the time to actually perfect their craft.
Right. Well, and I will say this. He would say that modern, like, music now, he wouldn't really call that much. Like, he's like, think about the music that you hear on the radio. He's like, nobody's really playing instruments anymore. It's a lot of, like, synths, is that right? Or, like, just pre-recorded beats and that they're overlapping, you know, like, they're not playing music. Like,
to be fair, there's still skill associated with knowing what to put where.
But it's different.
But a lot of it is commercialized as far as what will sell the best, what will hit the most, what we can play on the radio. And that's not always what I feel is the most artistic.
Yeah. So he's art. He likes the art of it.
Okay, so top three, knowing that you like musicians that have a skill set, what are your top three favorite bands or musicians right now?
Lake Street Dive was one of my favorites. They are all ex-jazz musicians.
Wow.
That went into kind of a pop rock O-Town sound. We get to see a band called St. Paul and the Broken Bones. And they're a Southern Alabama.
That's really hard to, like...
Yeah, rock.
He's an ex-church kid who... It's really cool. I don't know how to explain it, really.
They have a fake funk feel to them.
Funk. That's a really good... Yeah.
I mean, John Mayer's always a...
Yeah, you always like John Mayer.
You really like John Mayer.
But that's just because of his guitar playing. I mean, you can go down that rabbit hole, guitar players, but But you said three, so we're done.
Banda, tell us about your life right now. You are largely stay at home, right?
Yes. I am a stay at home mom of four who is trying fiercely to make sure she does not just become a mommy of four. but also not sure how to navigate those waters. So right now, like I had started a business called Baked, which was baking out of my home, specifically just starting with doing granola, multiple flavors of granola, not hoping to stay there, but just like to start. And then I had Frankie, our fourth, and just sort of set it aside to adjust, which has turned into like 8 months of setting it aside at this point. And then having to pull up and out all the fears of like, well, maybe I can't do a business. Well, how could I possibly do a business with four kids? And how can I do a business and be a good mom and be a good mom and have a business? And should I have a business? Maybe I shouldn't have a business. Like, just the unraveling has come. And Chris is not going to say a thing about this because he's so sick of hearing about it.
he
literally, until I start baking and sell my first 100 bags, I don't think he's even going to believe that we're going to do it again.
Just because it has taken a while for you.
I just keep hashing through the same old stuff and just like, you know, not being sure. I don't like to fail. Like, that's a big thing I'm going through right now. I don't like to fail. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do anything if I think it could fail or if I think it might not be the right thing. So then I don't do anything. Mm-hmm. So, like, even with this, I'm really just still not convinced it's the right thing. But, like, if I don't do something, I'm not going to do anything.
Right.
So I really don't know, like, if Baked and a home business, me having a business, I don't know if the timing's right. I don't know if it's the right thing. But, like, I'm just going to keep.
I think that's the problem. I think the problem is you keep looking to see if it's the right thing instead of just trying it.
But I did try it, and like, was it working for our family? Was it, you know, too much demand for this season of life? You know, like, am I going to miss out on their childhood because I'm trying really hard to be productive and feel like needed?
Right.
There are so many areas though to actually trying something.
The beautiful place where we've come is that I didn't realize that he'd be okay with just like, I get overwhelmed because if I put out an order, especially because I haven't done it in a while, I'm going to be like bombarded with people who want 5 bags apiece, 10, you know, or plus. And he's like, put out an order, tell them you're capping at 60 pounds, and then do it again next month and just keep. And I'm like, I can do that. He's like, yes, like make it work for us. And I'm like, oh, I can do that. Like, or, and even just that he can support me in that. Like, I kind of thought like he was all like, oh, I'm not, like bigger, go bigger, go home. And I think he probably could be that way, but feel like he's sort of.
I think oftentimes you have an opinion. You think, wait, you have an idea of what you think I'm
going to
say.
Yeah.
Never ask me about it and then put this judgment I have on
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it's true. I have walked around thinking that he's either like, go big or go home. Mm-hmm. Like, you either do this or you don't. You either like get a factory and start this. Right. No, like honestly.
Right.
Or don't do it. You know, like figure out what you want to do. And that has just like kept me in a place of terror. And then we started talking and he's like, just do 60 pounds. I'm like, like, not even knowing that I had built this lie in my brain that.
So is this our moment here on the podcast, our big announcement that Amanda Long will be offering baked granola soon?
Yes.
I can hear the crowd.
Don't tell too many people. Yeah, so I spend my days with four kids doing all the things. And lately, just trying to sort through all of that, like, in my heart, trying to figure out. Mm-hmm.
Like, I think you probably had to walk through this to identify that one of your core issues was failing. Like
failing and fear of failure.
Yeah. So has the Lord, like, there's sort of a transition period where the Lord's talked to you about something and there's the weird middle before you, like, adopt it into your heart as the truth.
Yeah.
So is there something the Lord is trying to teach you or is talking to you about the failure thing right now or the fear of failing? That's hard to say, actually. Like that he's telling you this or people are teaching you this, but it's not quite truth inside of you yet. So that's where you're sort of stranded until.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I'm quite getting your question, but like, I would say one of the things would be, I'm just with the fear of failure. I just feel like if I try and I fail, then I'm just like one more step behind. And then like, what about our future, my children's future, and the impact I'm leaving on the earth, and my legacy, and da da da. I mean, I don't know. Like, for real, this is a big thing.
Wow.
And I think I think the Lord wants me to, I don't know, like, just that there's more freedom and room than that. Like, that I can get it wrong, and that's okay. Maybe. I don't know. I still don't like saying it, because it doesn't...
It's so hard.
It's mm-hmm. so not... I don't know. Like, it doesn't feel like the truth to mm-hmm. even say it. But, like, I keep being told that, like, there's so much more room, you know, than that. Like, there's... You're too hard on yourself, or all these things. And
I think sometimes it's hard to transition out of our fear, because we don't... The fear is so front and center, it's hard to take our eyes off of it to see what the Lord is saying about it, and to even trust any other thought.
Right.
So I know that when there's fear in our lives, the Lord is talking to us about it. He absolutely will not let us stranded in fear. But it is hard sometimes when it's so prevalent in your mind and in your thinking to even take your mind off of your, to take your eyes off of your fear long enough to see anything else, to think any other yeah. way. Like, but even in that place, if you like pause for a minute and look, the Lord is, you know, talking to your heart, or bringing the thoughts and the heart of freedom into your life, and He is putting people around you to help those things heal inside. Yeah.
I think trusting that process, like trusting mm-hmm. that, okay, if I get it wrong, like, I'm not just stranded with no, like, He will, like, He and me partner together, like, okay, so I tried that, and then, like, this other door will open, or this mm-hmm. other, like, mm-hmm. somehow, like, it'll just keep going, and, like, as long as I don't quit, which I kind of have done a little bit, mm-hmm. if I just stop thinking that way, and as long as I don't quit, you know, like, doesn't it say, I'm gonna butcher this, but doesn't it talk about, like, He will finish the work, you know, that He started in you? Mm-hmm. Faithful to complete the yeah. thing that He started. Somehow that even if I didn't, like, maybe getting rid of the idea that there's just this one, like, here is the path that I had for you, Amanda. Like, maybe just getting rid of the idea that there's, like, this one way to do it, and that, like, He can, I don't know, that I am part of creating the story, that, like, that I'm not just having, I think I've operated for a while just, like, tell me what to do, and I'll do it. Like, tell me what to do. And He's sort of like, well, what do you want to do? And I'm like, I don't know, tell me what to do. Like, that He's really okay with me kind of, like, steering the ship a bit. Like, with Him, partnership, all that jazz. But, like, I don't know. I've never really practiced so much trusting myself. Mm-hmm. That's another one. Trusting myself. Trusting what I'm hearing. Trusting my own decisions. Trusting, you know, that I hear what He's saying. Or that even if I didn't, I'll try again. Or I'll get it right next time. Or even if I don't, like, there's another time. Like, I don't know. Like, all of that.
So much room.
But there's... I don't think you realize how many people are relating to what you're saying right now. Like, I feel like there's just so many people who are like, yeah, exactly what she's saying. So, I just appreciate you sharing and being open-hearted like that. Yeah. Because I think there's a lot of people who are definitely yeah. relating to what you're saying.
I was going to say, I feel like the thing people have with failure is that the goal that they set up for is not always the right goal. A story came to mind when I was younger. I used to play video games with my brother, and there's certain games I was better than him at. Mm-hmm. And instead of losing, my brother changed the goal for himself. His goal was no longer to beat me. His goal was to make sure I didn't win. And so he may not win the game, but in his mind, he won because I didn't win. And he set a new goal. So one of the things we did when we were making baked is we got into stores. Uh-huh. But we realized that was incredibly difficult. We weren't making the profit that we wanted to.
It was hard on us.
As communication was hard. Mm-hmm. Negotiating was difficult. Constantly restocking was difficult. And so we ended up pulling out of stores. And you could say that we failed in that area. Or you can say we're learning how to do business, mm-hmm. and we learned that this is not the aspect we want to do.
Right, right.
So instead of going away with the loss, we now have a clearer vision of what we want to do and what doesn't work for us.
Yeah.
So you can take it as a learning experience and a win, or you can look at it as, or you can go back to, well, we didn't succeed in this area the way that typical success is found, and we failed, and then wallow in that. Mm-hmm. I think perspective is really powerful when you're talking about, when you get into anything that you're trying, you know, what is the goal, what is failure, and what is success? Mm-hmm. Is my guitar playing, is success being the best possible there is and no one's better than me, then I'm going to
fail every time.
Fail every time. Mm-hmm.
I think also allowing yourself to make mistakes and not seeing it as a failure is really important.
Well, and I still struggle, and I don't know where I'm standing yet on this one, but, like, I struggle to go back into baked until we have a bit of a clear, like, I want a vision for why we're doing it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's in me. I don't necessarily know. Like, I had started health classes at one point as well. And, like, because I get so tired of people being sick. And I don't want people to be tired and, like, unhealthy. And I'm pre-diabetic. And I can't do what I really want to do because I'm sick. And I don't, you know, like, I think there's just way better than that. But, and so, like, yes, I'm doing baked, but I don't really see how baked ties into yet.
Your personal overall.
Right. Yeah. So it's hard sometimes to stick with baked right now because I don't see. But the thing is, I may not see it until I just pour myself into it, yeah, and see what opportunities come, and I'm not sure. Because I talk about eventually a bakery someday where I can have classes, you know, like in the off hours, and I don't know. I have no idea, and I just don't even know how that would work, but...
But it shouldn't stop you from...
But the vision thing sort of hangs me up, because on the hard days, I need to fall back on, this is why I'm doing this, you know? Because otherwise, you sort of crumple up into a little heap, and, like...
I think, I'm thinking about... Because you... From time to time, you have made, like, these beautiful confections, like these beautiful cakes or desserts for people. And I remember coming up to when you graduated from culinary school and seeing the level to which you've been trained. Like, you really do have an excellent traditional baking education. And so with baked, with the nutrition classes, with all the skills you've accrued, it does seem like they have a common thread of excellence, but also that your real heart is to bring life to people, like a real abundant sort of new strength and life in nutrition, and honestly in joy, because desserts are joy. They're not for they're not for function. They're not broccoli.
Right,
they
right,
taste
right.
delicious for a reason. They're fun. Like, you have a fun personality. Mm-hmm. You enjoy people. I watched you at the booth that you did that day. Remember that was like 2 years
ago. Oh, the
The show.
Yeah.
You did like that show and you did all the granola. Your niche was literally standing there at that table relating with everybody that came up. And so clearly your vision needs to be around the people that you are connecting with and the contribution you want to make to their life.
Yeah.
Because I think that umbrella will cover any avenue that you want to pursue, baked or nutrition or whatever, and it'll have room. It'll express your heart for people, and I think it'll have room for any way in which you want to express that.
Yeah.
But you have no greater joy than when someone breaks into something that you've made and it's delicious and it brings them joy and you know it's fueling their body too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Whatever your personal vision is, like, that's the part. It's got to have that element too.
I was watching a documentary last night and it was talking about, like a doctor who puts like thousands and thousands of stents in people's hearts, and she's like, and then I'd go up and visit them after the surgery, and they'd be having their, like, white bread with roast beef and, you know. And I was like, oh, I want to go into hospitals and change all the food. Like, I want to, like, I want – because, like, that is – there's, like, this huge, like, hey, there's a problem. Hey, this is, like – and then literally once they get out of the operating room, they're back into, like, this – like, what are we doing? Like, I know food is not the end-all, be-all. I know that. But I do think it's a part.
But like, there is an element of fueling your body well.
Yeah. Anyway. But yeah.
I love that.
I was going to ask Chris, is there anything that the Lord has on your heart to step into or be a part of, and any idea, like something different that you haven't done yet?
Something different I haven't done yet. See, I'm almost thinking I need to do the things I'm already doing better.
Okay.
Rather than step into something new.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of that has to do with parenting too.
Okay.
Because there are levels of patience I need to learn in order to parent my kids better. And I feel like until I can actually have a level of patience with them, I don't necessarily feel like picking anything else up. Mm. In addition to what I'm already doing, like I'm not doing anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Would probably stress me out and make me less patient with that.
You think it'd make the problem worse?
I think if I divide my attention any further than it's already divided right now, it would be worse because my mind would be pulled in too many directions, because it's probably pulled in too many directions as it is right now.
Mm.
Between, you know, work and hobbies and always new things I want to try. Mm-hmm. But I think there are some aspects just overall to our kids that our kids are like us. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if we're parenting them and just being mad at their behavior, not looking back at where did they learn that from, it's possible that their actions are causing us to look at ourselves mm-hmm. To adjust something. But if we're not aware of that, we're just correcting their behavior, not being observant of ourselves. It's like, oh, that's what I do too. Mm-hmm. I should change that as well.
I think you're a good dad. I want to ask a question because there is one thing of Chris and Amanda are very, very different people, but mm-hmm. One of the passions you share, although you go about it very differently, is worship. You guys care a lot about worship and music. Well, I think you probably look at it from different angles, but you both have a really beautiful heart for worship. So I want to hear from you all about why you love worship and what's your heart for worshiping. One of the things I see specifically, like a couple of weeks ago, and I even messaged you about it because it was so beautiful. You stood at the microphone and you literally just did not reserve your heart. You poured the whole thing out until it was done. And you did not look back to see if we were saying, you're doing good. You knew your heart was coming out and it was right. And you trusted the family and you trusted yourself. And it was the most beautiful thing I had seen out of you in a really long time. And so I want to hear, like, how you hear the Lord in those times. Do you hear songs in your heart? Do you hear words? Or do you just jump out and something comes?
I think I hear things going, like, in my heart. Sometimes I get even, like, a feeling. Like, I just feel that, like, I'm sure people can relate to the feeling of just, like, wow, like, I have to release. Like there are times when, like, I'll just talk to the Lord and be like, are you talking to me right now? Are we talking corporate? Are we, you know, like, I can't quite tell sometimes, like, you know, do I say this? Is this just something that, like, I can ponder in my heart? I still don't know always how to navigate that. But there are times when I'm like, I have to say this. Like, I'm feeling it very, very strongly. Mm-hmm. And I think on that, I remember that Sunday it being such new territory for me because it's really easy for me to rehearse what I want to say and then kind of clean it all up. It's good. It's got, like, this little package and bow, mm-hmm. and I'll release it, and then we're done, right?
Right.
And this was just more of, like, I'm, like, as it comes, I'm letting. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't rehearse this. I'm like, giving it as it's coming. And that's scary for me because if I could rehearse it, deem it approvable and acceptable and good and, like, nobody would say this is bad, right. Then I can release it. But if it's, like, just coming out and it even might sound, like, weird and shaky and I might go up when I didn't even think I could reach that. And I might, you know what I mean? Right. Like,
well, at one point, see, the people listening may not know, but us three sisters used to sing together. Mm-hmm. And I remember how you felt when your voice would crack.
Yeah.
And I remember you would shut down and you wouldn't want to sing anymore because your voice had cracked.
Yeah.
That Sunday, your voice cracked.
Yep.
You backed up, took a deep breath, and went right back out.
I hated it. And I was like, I think I've learned a bit that it's the spirit of a thing sometimes mm-hmm. more than a thing. And I was, I have so learned because I have seen so many people who cannot sing be brave and be like, I cannot sing worth a lick, mm-hmm. but I have something to give and it's going to come out in music right now. And it just is. And it's okay. Mm-hmm. And totally not judged. I don't personally judge it at all. Like, I think it's beautiful when it comes out and necessary and really powerful. And so, gosh, my voice cracked. Like,
okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Way to put Erin on the spot right there.
Erin, I did not. That was not.
Well, Chris, you too, though. And this is another place where you guys are, like,
exact opposites.
Total opposites.
Antonyms.
But, I mean, Chris, you care a lot about excellence. If you had your way, things would be very well implemented. You diligently care about things being done to their highest ability. And so we see that, and obviously we're so thankful for that because you've brought that to us in increasing measures as we've allowed you to. Like, you're constantly inviting us into higher levels of that. But a couple of Sundays ago, you did the same thing mm-hmm. where you actually, I think, remember you partnered with Mark And you and Mark, like, you, it was really strong. And, like, you were doing it from the back of the stage. And you barely moved your microphone. Yep. You were going. And it was so strong. And so it was almost gorgeous to see that, because I know how disciplined, it's not control. I don't see control in you. But you really do want it done perfectly. I didn't sense that in that moment. You were going after the worship of the Lord past.
Discipline isn't void of freedom, though. I think the idea of discipline is essentially for freedom.
Discipline is for freedom?
Discipline is for freedom.
That's so good.
Because...
I'm writing that one down.
It's really good. I hear what you're saying. That's really, really good.
Because you can't, without the practice and diligence of knowing your craft, you can't always communicate what you want to communicate with your craft. Mm-hmm. And so if you only know how to paint in blue, then you're only going to paint in blue. But if you understand how the colors work together, then you can paint a beautiful picture of anything. And you can express anything that way. But unless you teach yourself how to do that and all the tools of how that's done and how things work together, you can't always express what you want to express in the moment. And so I always feel like the discipline and the practice is not so that you can do everything structured and you do everything perfect.
Or control.
It's so that when you want to communicate something, you can effectively communicate it.
Yeah, I used to be really frustrated by his approach to worship, because it was just like, I just wanted to be free and, like, you know, whatever, whenever, and, like, we're doing great, this is great, like, you know, nothing needs fixed or changed. And he would push, you know, especially when he would talk about, like, how we, our sound can't just be, like, a copy of what we hear all the time. And, like, we need to press into, you know, doing what we do well, you know, individually and together. And, like,
I think there are areas, I mean, there's always areas that we can improve it. But because I think every body, church body, is different. And I don't think every church body needs to be looked exactly the same. But what I do think needs to happen is, I do think the gathering of people should be authentic and out of a relationship that they have with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so someone in, you know, like China, who's got churches that are persecuted, mm-hmm. you know, and we met Daniel, right? Mm-hmm. Daniel, who was in China and was kicked out of China because he was a missionary.
Neil's friend.
Like, his song to the Lord, for his experience of the Lord, is what's on his heart, will be different than what comes out of, you know, you know who.
Yeah.
And each place should have basically be true to, you know, how they're worshiping the Lord. Mm-hmm. And their songs are going to be different just because of their relationship with the Lord at that time is going to be different. Mm-hmm. So I think, I just always feel like it's important for each church to
sound like themselves.
Sound like themselves.
That's really good, yeah.
That's a wonderful.
It's really easy to copy, though. It's really easy to just, oh, they did it, so, like, let's just sort of, like, adopt that
flavor. Well, we essentially borrow the discipline of people who have committed the time and the development and the practice and the writing to develop that song, and then we just borrow it.
Yeah.
Which in some cases has been really beautiful. Like, there's been some songs that cover the earth that needed to cover the earth. Like, they were gorgeous. Oh, I thought about that though last week when Mark opened with Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, for a minute I was thrown back to my teenage years, and I thought, oh my goodness, this is like
I will say though, had it been a Mennonite church, that harmony would have been way better. Waiting for it to come, and, like, was it coming? I was like, does no one harmonize anymore? What is going on?
There's a tenor song.
I know. The bass. Like, we needed the whole thing.
I think we have a tendency to throw out old songs because we think that they're old.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And to say what's new, what's, you know, do new, and then new, and you never have time to. I hate to use the phrase build a relationship with a song, mm-hmm. but I think about it like when the Israelites crossed the Jordan, they built a monument mm-hmm. at the Jordan to remind them this is where they crossed. And I think a lot of times old songs can do that for people too. Mm-hmm. To be, this is the place I walked through the Lord with at this time, and this is my reminder.
That's very true. What's that song? You Make Me Brave.
Mm-hmm. You Make Me Brave.
Like, I will. No, there's another one.
Oceans.
Where Feet May Fail. I will never. Like, I will always know where I was during that, like, season of song. Like, I will always be able to sing that and, like, remember.
What the Lord,
like,
brought you
to. Yeah, like, going to New York and, like, just the crazy, like, it was so scary. And, like, I didn't know what we were doing and, you know.
Newly married.
Yeah, newly married. Like, everything was just new and uncharted territory. And that song, I will always just know, like, kind of where that song.
So funny.
Yeah, I think what you said is very true.
Thank you. This was wonderful.
You're welcome.
Nice to be here.